It's the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Now that America is importing most of the ingredients in our prescription drugs and the majority of the foods we eat, it's important to look behind the label. It may or may not tell you where the products come from. Your prescription drugs may be coming from communist China. Drug research in China has fallen under a cloud because 13 of the top 20 global drug makers have set up research and development centers in China. Yes, it's cheaper to do research there, but as one auditor said, with cheaper research comes greater risk. For example, researchers did not report the results of animal studies about a drug already being tested in humans, a breach described by the drug researchers as a mortal sin. Auditors also report that Chinese workers did not properly monitor clinical trials, and they paid hospitals in ways that could be seen as bribery. Free trade is bringing us fish raised in China's six rivers. By the time the fish swim to the fish ponds, the water has been accumulating raw sewage, agricultural pesticides, and the heavy metal output of poorly regulated industrial plants. China's planned purchase of pork producer Smithfield Foods for $4.5 billion has U.S. officials concerned about how this could affect the safety and availability of heparin. That's an important blood thinner derived from pig intestines that is widely used in U.S. heart surgery and kidney dialysis. In 2007 and 8, 94 Americans died after being treated with contaminated heparin. An increasing percentage of vaccines is manufactured in China and sold in U.S. pharmacies. China boasts of 30 vaccine-producing companies that will soon be producing 1 billion doses a year.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Want your voice heard? At eagleforum.org, in a blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, we want to hear your firsthand experience with the U.S. unemployment crisis. Where did the jobs go? Is the solution more government spending or cutting taxes? Join the blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
How did a country founded on freedom and limited government end up with the largest, most intrusive government in world history? The process has been ongoing for a long time, and it won't change as long as the Democrat and Republican parties continue to dominate the political system in the United States. It's time to face some unpleasant facts. Americans used to say, it can't happen here. Well, it can, and it has. America has become unrecognizable. We are living in a dark era where not only freedom is under direct attack, but even truth. The institutions of power and control have essentially merged into one giant organism, one that does not trust or believe in the American people. It's time to break up the Democrat-Republican death grip on power and return America to Americans. It's time to regain our freedom by supporting the American Freedom Party. The American Freedom Party represents the American people and will return our nation to greatness. You can be part of the solution by joining the American Freedom Party for just $25. Send your $25 membership to the American Freedom Party, 9811 West Charleston Boulevard, Suite 2-441, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. Again, that's the American Freedom Party, 9811 West Charleston Boulevard, Suite 2-441, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117.
It's time to utilize your Second Amendment right. No better way than at Knob Creek Gun Range. Check out the large variety with over 3,000 guns in stock. Also, reloading supplies, ammunition, and low admission. Only $10 per person per day. $5 for children 12 and under. And 50% off for active duty and retired military with valid ID. If you don't own any firearms, no problem. You can rent one of ours. Knob Creek Gun Range supplies all your shooting needs. Go to KnobCreekRange.com for more information. Range memberships are available. Visit KnobCreekRange.com today.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the Pure Effect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
To Healing with Dr. Daniels on the RBN Network. And tonight's topic is the training of serial killers for the secret war on U.S. soil. Yep, you heard it here first, the secret war to murder Americans on U.S. soil. Now, actually, you have to say, it's really not that secret. I mean, when you're murdering 860,000 Americans a year, it's kind of tough to hide that level of accomplishment and achievement. So we're going to talk tonight about how this happens. Just what's the process for training these soldiers who are American citizens to be serial killers, to murder again and again and again, to achieve the stunning total of 860,000 murders in 2012 alone. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And this program, as you might have guessed, is medical school. So we've talked about the selection process. So how do you select a person who will reliably become a serial killer who will reliably murder their fellow citizens repeatedly? And it's actually quite a detailed process. And I would say if MK Ultra is not involved in the training of doctors, they could certainly take a few lessons. It's a very sophisticated training program that turns well-intentioned individuals into serial killers. And many people, even as they are murdering their fellow citizens, feel quite virtuous about the whole thing and about the process and what they're doing. And what makes being a doctor so stressful is holding numerous mutually exclusive ideas and feelings and directives at the same time. We're going to talk about that too. And so to kind of kick things off, I'm going to talk about what happens once a student is admitted to medical school. So once you're admitted to medical school, and this happens anywhere from January of your senior year in college to the day before class starts. So they're still admitting people the day before class starts. It's a very, it's a furious process. And so they actually have the nerve to send out or suggest a reading list. but I don't think anyone pays attention to that. The purpose of the reading list is to further homogenize the admission pool for that particular school. And so students can have something to talk to each other about, basically the book on the reading list that they met, that they read over the summer. So when you get to medical school, the first thing that you're struck with is, wow, I made it. I've been chosen. So it's an incredible feeling of being privileged. And what happens is the medical school, or as you say, the military assassins training ground disguised as medical school, capitalizes on this. And they give us this big, grandiose welcome, not at first. Usually about 2 weeks into the experience, you get a really, really grand welcoming where a professor with gray hair, I think the gray hair is mandatory, tells you how great you are and how you've been specially chosen and how fortunate you are, and also the special privileges that you have. So I read something like this. This is pretty close to exactly what was said in medical school back in 1979. And something pretty close to it is still being said today, because there are some limitations on what doctors can do. There are laws against murder. There are laws against mutilation. And so subtly, we are told that what we are doing is actually criminal, but we are going to get special exemption. And this is really nice, the way they do it. It seems so positive. And I've told this joke before, but I'm going to tell it again. And this is what the guy in gray hair says. So it's a male, not a woman. He says, "Welcome to medical school. You've now entered the elite status in society. You have access to people's most personal information. You are allowed to view and touch their bodies. These special privileges are not granted lightly. In exchange, you must always adhere to the standard of care. Never deviate. And you will have the highest status and protection this society affords. In the event of any adverse outcomes, read death of the patient, you will be in all cases exonerated when you adhere to the standard of care. Your fellow citizens look up to you and accept your pronouncements. Go forth and serve." And just the warm, fuzzy feeling that settled over the whole room. It's, wow, this is great. We're in the right place. This is good. And of course, what they really meant was, you are now a member of an elite force with special privileges comparable to the Navy SEALs. Like the SEALs, you must follow protocols, and people will die. Your expected body count is 5 deaths per year. If fewer than 5 patients per year die at your hands, you are not following protocol. You will be monitored. Your orders will come from powerful sources. You will be immune from prosecution, and your targets will be under orders to cooperate with you. Your country needs you. This is the English interpretation of what was said that day. And of course, obviously, if the students had grasped the English interpretation, I think most of us, all of us, would have said, "I'm out of here. You know, maybe I can get a tuition refund if I hurry. I'm a healer, not a killer." And people really rush for the exit. And believe it or not, that is a big problem in medical schools. They don't broadcast this, but a big problem is attrition. They really do need every single person that they admit to medical school to show up and complete the program. And throughout medical school, they are constantly sending out the message that your spot is a very privileged spot. Don't take this lightly. Don't throw this away. Don't walk away from this. Stick with it. We're here to make sure that you get through it. And so this is the introduction to medical school. So we are told that there's going to be adverse events and we're going to be exonerated. And this is the same way that a child molester might seduce a 3-year-old child. You start out really low, really slow, give little hints, don't come on strong, and it's just very, very, very subtle. So then, as things go on, classes proceed, problems become clear. begin to know. Well, first of all, the first 2 years of medical school, most medical schools do not allow medical students to see patients. Not allowed to see patients the first 2 years of medical school. They do something called basic science, where they learn how the body works, you know, anatomy, like what the organs are, physiology, what they're supposed to do, how they work together, biochemistry, the chemical reactions that go between them, and pathophysiology, what goes wrong. And so we're going to learn in a minute why medical students are not allowed to see patients the first 2 weeks.
No, please don't go.
How did a country founded on freedom and limited government end up with the largest, most intrusive government in world history? The process has been ongoing for a long time, and it won't change as long as the Democrat and Republican parties continue to dominate the political system in the United States. It's time to face some unpleasant facts. Americans used to say, it can't happen here. Well, it can, and it has. America has become unrecognizable. We are living in a dark era where not only freedom is under direct attack, but even truth. The institutions of power and control have essentially merged into one giant organism, one that does not trust or believe in the American people. It's time to break up the Democrat-Republican death grip on power and return America to Americans. It's time to regain our freedom by supporting the American Freedom Party. The American Freedom Party represents the American people and will return our nation to greatness. You can be part of the solution by joining the American Freedom Party for just $25. Send your $25 membership to the American Freedom Party, 9811 West Charleston Boulevard, Suite 2-441, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. Again, that's the American Freedom Party, 9811 West Charleston Boulevard, Suite 2-441, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117.
The current declaration of martial law and coup in Thailand, while significantly impacting tourism, has been met by expats and in-country tourists with a what-coup attitude. While internal political changes must be made before the upcoming elections, the curfew is now largely ignored in tourist areas. Translation? Great hotels and cheap flights at unheard-of savings. Veterans, VA lost your paperwork again? Visit AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com for life-saving treatments and surgery at fractions of U.S. prices and a really cool vacation afterwards. Hit us up at AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party and join us by going to theamericanfreedomparty.us. That's theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama 36576.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go. No, please don't go. I don't want to stay here on my own. Oh.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the RBN Network. I just want to mention that we have a chat room going at healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com. That's healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com. You can join our very exciting discussion. And we're going to take questions on the top of the hour. And you can call in at 800-313-9443 with questions. That's 800-313-9443. Now, why medical students are not allowed to see patients for the first 2 years? Now, someone in the chat room mentioned possibly they might develop empathy with the patients. Well, even more importantly is that the student would be abruptly confronted with the harm, with the suffering, with the torture, and with the carnage. This is introduced to the student very, very gradually. I happen to be the granddaughter of a sharecropper. That means my father grew up in his family, he was a sharecropping family, basically, more or less. And so they had a different attitude towards doctors. And my father, he was very, very supportive of me becoming a doctor. And as soon as I got admitted to medical school, he said, "This is it. We have got to talk." He said, "You've just been admitted to medical school. Your dream to become a doctor is assured, but there are no second chances. There is something you have to know." So, of course, I was very curious to know. I didn't want to miss out on vital knowledge. I said, "Well, yes, Daddy." He said, "The medical license is a license to kill. Do not waste it. Become a surgeon. Amputate 1 inch at a time. Charge $10,000 per inch. Start with one leg and then do the other. Do not stop until you have done both legs. You will be driving a Rolls Royce in no time. Make me proud." And of course I said, "Oh, Dad, you're kidding. Nobody would do that." My father, oh, he was so distraught, so disappointed in me. They turned to my mother, her name is Lily, and he called her Lil. He said, "Lil, talk to your daughter." And so my father was very disappointed that I did not understand the importance of the medical degree. So I merely went on to medical school. Now, so in those first 2 years, we do those basic science courses and no patient contact. And they did let us practice doing physical exams on each other. And they did occasionally give us guided tours, heavily supervised tours, of the hospital. And so they would not allow us, it was absolutely not allowed, for us to walk down any area of the hospital without being escorted. And so this is a, as many of you know, I write comic strips. And so this is such a really heavy, depressing topic that I'm lightening it up tonight by really reading a series of comics I've written and giving a little editorial on these. Now, some people say, "Oh, Dr. Daniels, you know, you're so brilliant, you're so creative. I wish I could take that kind of credit," but a lot of these comics are just taken word for word from things that actually happened. All right, so they have two doctors talking, and they're in the cancer ward. And the name of the cancer ward is Happy Chemo Land. And so the first doctor says, "What are all these beautiful young women doing on the cancer ward?" The second doctor says, "Oh, these are medical models. We're paying them to impersonate cancer patients enjoying chemotherapy. Medical students are coming through today, and they might get discouraged if they saw the real thing." And we saw this again and again in medical school, where literally events were staged for our conditioning benefit, so that we would, you know, see a particular view of things. And again, it was always enforced to us, reinforced, the standard of care, standard of care. You have to stick to the standard of care because bad things happen, and the standard of care protects you. And how does the standard of care protect you? When you stick to the standard of care, it means you maintain your privilege to work in the hospital and earn money at the hospital. It protects your board certification. Your certification allows you to have a license and protects the license itself. It also protects you in terms of insurance companies. They will pay your claims and you'll collect more money. And it protects you in terms of malpractice. If you're accused of something, and even if you did cause a death, if the standard of care was followed, you're exonerated. And so this is a joke about that. It shows a nurse coming to work, and she's in the morning. She says to the doctor, "Dr. Jones, Mr. Smith's wife called. He died suddenly last night." So the doctor looks up at the umbrella called the standard of care. Underneath it has malpractice laws, licensure, insurance payment guidelines, and all the things the standard of care protects. And he looks up and says, "I think we're covered." And And so this is really even more so. When I talk to younger doctors, when I talk to people in their residency, what they tell me is that patients dying, patients suing, malpractice premiums, cost of doing business. And it's shockingly similar to the tone that I heard in business school. And so doctors are now being imbued with this callous attitude towards the suffering and even the death of their patients. Now, still, before we get to see these patients in the second year, we're also confronted with the LD50, the dose at which 50% of all the people we treat will die. And it's a shocking thing to even discuss such a concept when you're coming to medical school to help people heal, to get them better, and to improve their lives, to have a discussion about how you're actually going to be prescribing drugs that have something called the LD lethal dose, where 50% of them die. So this is a comic strip about that. The professor is talking to the student. The professor says, we use LD50 studies as a measure of safety of drugs. The student says, what's that? The professor says, well, LD50, that's a dose for which 50% of the subjects who would take the drug die. And the student says, whoa, can we measure an LD0? And the professor says, there is no such thing. And then the student has a question mark, and the professor says, I am troubled by your questions. I am recommending you spend an additional 6 months of study to be sure you master the standard of care. And so there's a tremendous disincentive to think sensibly or to even ask questions in medical school, because what you're being confronted with when you stop to think about it was so absolutely totally horrific that you almost couldn't even believe it. And this is something that again and again we were confronted with in medical school. Now, what really made a difference is that the cost of medical school, this is the old days, was $10,000 a year. And this meant that each student was borrowing at least $10,000 just for tuition, so nothing of food, shelter, and transportation to be there. And so this interest, this debt was growing, was compounding continuously. Because of the hours students had to work in medical school in excess of 90 a week, there was no time for any alternative employment of any kind. And so by the time you string these kids along, or students along, in the first year the discussion is about patients, about effective therapy, and what we can do that would be helpful to patients. And by the time you get to your second or third year, the list of what would help patients gets astoundingly small. But then the overriding thing is the growing mountain of debt and how are you going to pay your debt. And so this is the way that the students are really trapped in the whole matter. And so one thing that bothered students was a lack of efficacy. Nothing seemed to work. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped to get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What's the best source of information on the internet? ANUnews.net. ANUnews.net is regularly updated with the best cross-section of news and views you need to fully understand what's going on in the world and why. ANUnews.net finds the most informative and provocative articles to be found on the internet for you to read. ANUnews.net is your online daily newspaper, an important weapon in the battle to arm Americans with the information they need to defeat the one-worlders and cultural Marxists. Make ANUnews.net a regular part of your internet experience. You'll be glad you did by visiting ANUnews.net.
A to Z Publications is your one-stop source for books written by Dr. Adrian H. Krieg. Dr. Krieg is a Renaissance man whose knowledge of the issues of the day and the needed solutions is unsurpassed. Dr. Krieg has written 13 books. Titles such as Rendezvous with the New World Order, Obama's Nightmare Plan, Oz and the New Millennium, and others are available online from A to Z Publications. Go to A to Z Publications and order today. That's the letter A, the number 2, the letter Z, publications.com. Or write A to Z Publications, Post Office Box 110163, Bradenton, Florida, 34211.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Give such delight. We all live before morning light. Please don't go. No, please don't go. Cause I don't want to stay here on my own.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the RBN Network. So there was a crisis. The crisis was that students were noticing that much of what we were being taught in medical school was simply not effective. The patients were not getting better. And we were actually administering the therapy ourselves in the hospital, observing it take place, and it just wasn't working. So then the senior doctor, called a meeting of all the medical students, and he has something special to tell us. And again, like I said, MK Ultra. If they're not running the show, they could certainly learn a lot from it. And so he said to us, doctors in training, 50% of everything you are learning is false. Every 4 years, another 50% will be determined to be false. This is why continuing education is so important. And so, the medical student, that would be me, I said, well, 12 years after graduation, 93.75% of what I am learning will be false. If it's false 12 years from now, isn't it false today? And the doctor said, I quote, Dr. Duguid, I think you're reading too much into this. And of course, in the comic, the student is sitting on the seat of the seat. And so then we were prepared. So it wasn't that we were being lied to. It wasn't that the patients were being defrauded. No. It was our job as very intelligent, highly trained people to ferret out the 50% of what we were learning that was false. But of course, if you extend this out for 8, 12 years, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. It's not 50%, it's 93%. And so that was very, very disturbing to me. And so, of course, I put my little thinking cap on and I thought about that and I said, wait a minute. Here they are, running me ragged, 90 hours a week. I've got an idea. This is my idea. And I actually went to the assistant dean and mentioned this to him. I said, well, if 93.75% of what I'm being taught is false, can't you guys form a truth-finding committee, cut medical school to 4 months, and just teach the 6.75% that is true? And the dean did not go for that. He said, Dr. Dennis, go back to class. Didn't stop there. I was still discouraged. And I was still gloomy. And so I said, I got to call home. Now, the great thing about this whole process of selecting a serial killer is you seduce the family right along with them. So the family says, hey, it's a great thing, be a doctor. Oh, we're so proud of you. And so you get into school, and things aren't checking out, and you call home. In order for them to support that concept, they have to admit that they've made a mistake too. And this doesn't usually happen. So here's how the phone call went. So I called home. I said, Mom, I'm depressed. I want to drop out of medical school. I really did. I did say that. And then, of course, in the comic strip, the student is sitting on the seat of deceit. And the mother says on the other end, oh, honey, hang in there. We need you to become a doctor so you can make us all healthy here at home. And I said, that's the problem. They've just told us that we're being taught a pack of lies. So my mother had no comeback for that. She said, well, you know, just stay in there and it'll work out. Now, I had a list when I came to medical school. I had a father who was diabetic and just gotten diagnosed, I think a year into medical school, got diagnosed with cancer. I had two sisters who were retarded. I had a brother who was diabetic and a drug addict. There's a lot of medical problems going on in the family, so I was looking for answers. And so I was realizing that we're not going to be at the medical school. Oh, guys, here comes the rains, and we'll see what we can do with this. And so the next concept that was introduced in medical school was do no harm. It says, well, first, do no harm. This comes from the Hippocratic Oath, which, by the way, did not say first do no harm, it said do no harm. Well, first do no harm gives a doctor the option of first doing no harm and then second doing harm. Very fine subtlety, but it makes a big difference for the patients, for their safety. So I wrote a joke about do no harm. These two ladies are sitting at a table and one of them is wearing a pink ribbon. First lady says, I'm glad my doctor is certified in the Hippocratic Oath. The second lady says, you're lucky so many people are getting sick from medical care. And then the first lady says, yes, my doctor's really an expert. I've had my tonsils, appendix, gallbladder, and uterus removed. I don't feel any better, but I certainly don't feel any worse. And so the second lady says, more doctors should do no harm. Is your doctor taking new patients? And so this is an example of how the expectations of patients have actually been adjusted. And they actually think it's a victory for their doctor to do no harm. And no one says, hey, wait a minute. What about doing some good? And so then we were told that our therapies are very powerful, they're very helpful, and they're very dangerous. So they have to be administered at the right point. They have to be administered at the point where the probability of dying is equal to or greater than the probability of dying from the therapy itself, because, of course, the therapy is deadly. No mention was made. Of course, if you give a deadly therapy to someone who is on their way to dying, I mean, you can only hasten it. This was kind of washed, glossed over. So the concept of watchful waiting was introduced. And so we have to watch our patients closely to find just that right moment to introduce these dangerous but helpful therapies. So I wrote a comic strip about that as well. the first doctors, two doctors are talking. I'm also a patient. Patient says, doctor, what do you recommend for my prostate cancer condition? The doctor says, the standard of care recommends watchful waiting. And the patient says, what is that? The doctor says, it means I get paid to watch while you wait. And it's really what it comes down to. You have the patient come back every 3 to 12 months. Look, the rest of his life, as long as he'll put up with it. While you keep measuring and measuring to see if the disease has progressed to the point where intervention is needed, or is indicated. Another thing that was introduced was a concept that, in some cases, delaying therapy or not getting therapy at all is actually better. And so this is a joke about that. The lady says to the doctor, I don't want to die because I didn't get to the hospital. The doctor says, not possible. Delay improves survival. And the lady said, you mean those long waits in the emergency room are good for my health? And the doctor says, of course. And so, of course, no one even mentions the fact that maybe she should just not show up at all. Yes, the storms are coming, so we're hoping it doesn't drown us out. And so the other thing we were taught in medical school was when a patient comes in with one complaint, you always look for as many conditions as possible. Unrelated to the complaint, of course, but you can prescribe a drug for it. And so this one is the many faces of depression. The lady comes in and says, doctor, I think it's bad in this drug. The doctor says, sounds like depression to me. Here's your prescription for Newlaw. And so we're encouraged in what's called disease finding. And again, it's another thing we're taught about, statistical importance. I have to confess that I've had at least four statistics courses in my lifetime, high school and college and medical school. And I did pretty well in all of them. But this map will only require simple division, and probably not even that. And so this is what we were taught in medical school. This is a professor talking, and he says, when the first event gives rise to the second event, in fewer than 5% of cases, we say the events are statistically unrelated and there is no association. And so the student says, do the laws of statistics apply to heart attacks too? And the doctor says, they certainly do. And the medical student said, a heart attack is deadly in 3.6% of cases. Does this mean that heart attacks statistically don't cause death? And the doctor said, I did not say that. And a lot of times these things would have come up in medical school. Things just didn't seem to add up. And there really was no way, with the limited knowledge or information presented to the students, for us to sort things out. And another thing that was touted in medical school is we're always preferentially shown patients who were obedient, were very happy with ineffective therapy, and who believed and had the faith that if only they would contribute to research, if only more research would be done, then answers would be found to various conditions. And we had one thing called Dermatology Day. We'll talk more about Dermatology Day when we return.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists care only about the American Imperial Empire, not what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism, which is why you should be reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times is unabashedly pro-American in its outlook. We promote a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning cultural Marxist Party line. Published since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a newspaper which features outstanding writers who don't believe in
taboos or sacred cows. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times, America's best patriotic newspaper, for just $19 for 1 year. That's less than one-third the regular subscription price. Subscribe to the Nationalist Times for 1 year for only $19 by sending your subscription to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145. That's the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145. This limited time offer is for new subscribers only.
Whew. Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists care only about the American Imperial Empire, not what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism, which is why you should be reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times is unabashedly pro-American in its outlook. We promote a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning cultural Marxist Party line. Published since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a newspaper which features outstanding writers who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times, America's best patriotic newspaper, for just $19 for 1 year. That's less than one-third the regular subscription price. Subscribe to the Nationalist Times for 1 year for only $19 by sending your subscription to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145. That's the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145. This limited time offer is for new subscribers only.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go. No, please. Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go. No, please don't go. Cause I don't want to stay here on my own.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the RBN Network. We have our sound abatement system in place here, so hopefully it'll sound better as the storm moves in. So I was saying that the contact students have is selected for patients who are very trusting of the system, worshiping of the system, and they're very happy with ineffective therapy and hoping for a cure. And so this dermatology day that they set up is a situation where they have people with certain rashes agree to be on display in glass cubicles, and their rash is labeled, and the professor talks about the rash, and the students can walk from cubicle to cubicle and see the rash. And the professor, this is what he told us, he said, look carefully at each rash. These patients have been treated for years, and each year they generously volunteer to display their rash to enhance your education. And so these two students are looking at these people, and this one says, well, it's pretty easy. If it's wet, dry, if it's dry, wet it, and if it's red, just use steroids. And the second person says, well, if the stuff we're giving them works so well, how come they still have their rashes? First student says, shh. And the second one says, just saying. And so, for me, this was extremely discouraging. We have this incredible dermatology day. These patients have been getting treated for years and years and years, and their rashes are absolutely no better. Well, that for me was all I needed to know about dermatology. I really did not want to go into dermatology because it would not be an area of medicine where I could be effective, because of course I saw the present dermatologists were not being effective. And this is very discouraging. So by the time you get to your second year and you start seeing the phenomenal failures of what you're being taught, the students are scrambling for a specialty that will help people. And then towards the end of the second year or third year, you're scrambling for a specialty where you can harm the least number of people. And then finally, the debt is mounting. And the conversation in the third and fourth years really turns to, what specialty can I go into to earn enough money to pay off this debt? And so it's a very subtle, steady, gradual transformation that happens. And so you take someone who has all the propensities and all the characteristics of being a serial killer, and you hone them into a serial killer, someone who is going to follow the standard of care no matter what. And so this is a joke I wrote about the referral. And so the doctor and the patient are talking. The doctor says, Mr. Smith, we are now at the seventh step in the standard of care. This is where I refer you to the specialist. And the patient says, will the specialist make me better? And the doctor says, no, you will be the tenth person I have referred. Nobody has gotten better yet. And the patient says, well, why would I want to go? And the doctor says, it's the standard of care. I've actually had this conversation with the patient. Why? Because the family practice doctor, I was obligated, according to the standard of care, to refer people to the specialist at a certain point, even though it had never in my experience resulted in a successful outcome or benefit to the patient. And so that is the standard of care. Now, another thing we were taught in medical school, again, as you get further on into the third year, you're seeing patients, in the fourth year, then, I mean, they take off all the gloves. You're in the hospital, you're smelling all these awful, nauseating odors that just literally turn your stomach, and you're wondering what you got into. And everything is kept on a superficial level of, oh, I'm going to go into a specialty where I don't need to smell these odors. But what exactly is that odor? And I would say to the senior doctor, doctor, what's that odor? What is that we're smelling in the hospital? This smells awful. And they would give us a lecture about people being sick. What was not told to us is that we were the ones making them sick. And what was not told to us is that it was really the smell of death. What we were smelling was the smell of death. What we were smelling was the process of murdering these patients. So here's a joke I wrote about the ICU. That would be the insensitive care unit. And so the student says, sitting on a seat of deceit, of course, he says, we've used this protocol in 50 patients. They've all died. Can we stop? And the doctor says, a recent study published in the New England Journal of Medicine shows statistical evidence that patients benefit from this protocol. There is no reason to doubt this. Dr. Duguid, your lack of confidence in scientific fact is disturbing. And this is actually the way that I was managed in medical school. Well, now I point out that this doesn't sound right, or this doesn't look right, or what we're doing does not appear to be very productive. I was told, there's evidence that this is effective. You're not productive as evidence. And proceed. Now, I had a thing that I just was not going to be a party to murder. That's just what I didn't want. And this was very convenient that in medical school, medical students were not required to write orders. So if a doctor wanted to pursue a line of therapy that I felt was especially dangerous, I would just mention to the doctor that it would be an order that he would have to write. And so as medical school proceeded, and as the overwhelming ineffectiveness of therapy became crushingly obvious, and as everyone's debt and obligation became unbearable, and people had to fulfill these obligations, again, like a three-year-old who feels he's too far in to back out, we were given lines, given things that we should and could say to patients, things like, you want to get better, don't you? I want you to be around for a long time. Take this. This procedure must be done. This is an emergency. Take this medication the rest of your life. This is life-saving therapy. Research shows, we just throw in the blanket over, and this is your best option. Well, my favorite is, this is the better of two evils. Well, wait a minute. The best of two evils is still evil, not a good. So I'd like to talk to you guys for a bit at this point. So the question, what do you do when you are confronted with a serial killer who tells you that this therapy is your only hope? You must follow the standard of care. If a doctor can only tell you that it's the standard of care you must follow, that is a serious red flag. So here are some things you can say, some responses. No thanks, doc. I purchased my hope at the cosmetics store. How about something effective? Well, the doctor says, this is your only hope. Oh, we must follow the standard of care. Then you say, hope? You're not God. I get my hope at church. I'm here for results. So the next thing is, the doctor could say, this is your only chance. We must follow the standard of care. And you can say, no thanks, doc. I place my bets at the last chance casino. So make it known that you're aware that what you're being offered is not effective and that it's not acceptable to you. Now another choice is, no thanks, doc.
Just standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
With financial